This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 289, recorded on December 22nd, almost the end of the year, 2016. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, that is, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way on news reviews, product updates, and conversation. All for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live from the AverageGuy.tv studios. Here, which we've learned recently, there's snow on the way. We queried both voice devices. We won't use their names yet, but a warning. I'll just do this now. Get it right out of the way. We are going to invoke the name of probably the two most popular voice devices that are out there. One made by Google, one made by Amazon. So if you have those, you're listening out in the open with that, one of those devices, go ahead and just pause or mute or do whatever, because we're going to say it a bunch of times tonight, just warning you as we're doing this. And so get those things muted. Just take a second, do it right now. Of course, we post a show with world-class show notes each week out at theaverageguy.tv. You can also join us live on the mobile app. We thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that mobile app. And of course, Amber was on last week, and we got lots of good information about what's going on. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. 288 is what it is. You can go to theaverageguy.tv/hgadgetgeeks. 288 will get you there, or you can go ahead and search for LastPass and see all the times we've had them there. Thank LastPass for their sponsorship. You can get those apps super easy to download. HomeGadgetGeeks.com will get you there. If you're interested in supporting the show, you can do that easily as well through our Patreon link. Head out to theaverageguy.tv. Look in the right-hand side down. It'll say Patreon. Boom. Just click on it, and there's $1 and $5 plans. You can do it for 1 month or for reoccurring if you'd like. I want to thank those that are currently doing it. We appreciate your support of the show. If you want a link, you can go out to theaverageguy.tv. All right. We are live tonight with John Larson. John comes back. He had joined us a year ago. We just found out, right? John was here November 21st of 2015. If you remember that, he's got this cool in that program. Well, I think what I remember for it, John, was you had that cool camera kind of that you could, it was really small and you could do all kinds of cool things. But welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks. Good to be here.
John, your role at AIM, you're kind of a sysadmin guy in all things tech. You kind of keep their tech stuff rolling out at AIM. A year ago, we talked about any big changes there, or things just cruising along with your tech job at AIM?
It's been about the same. I've had a few duties I've been helping out with recently, mostly like heating in the building. That's been kind of a new skill to pick up with steam. That's been interesting.
Yeah. Well, you're in a new building, right? How long have you been in the Exchange building?
So AIM got the building in 2006, 2005.
It's been that long. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, so AIM is a group here in Omaha, and the whole goal, they were formed, I don't know, what, 1992,
yeah.
So 25 some years ago, to really help keep startup and our technology kind of knowledge in the city of Omaha, right? We were experiencing this, what we called brain drain, where all our best students were heading out to the coast or down to Texas or whatever. And so it was formed to kind of help try to keep some of that technology here in the city of Omaha. And I think it's been very successful, John. Over the last 5 years or more, if they bought a couple conferences, they have really, I think you guys have really expanded. And since 06, after purchasing the Exchange, we call the Exchange building, which is the old grain exchange building here. So if you're into history, lots of history flowed through that building. There's a lot of grain and a lot of those kinds of commodities were sold out of that building. AIM has put that building kind of back into its former glory of sorts. Some of the rooms have been redone to look like the old. And I love that kind of history, John. So it's always good. I always love coming to your hanging out with you. I think it's what, third floor that has been? Yeah, third floor's been put back. But the rest of it's open for, you got some startups, right? I think on seven, one of those floors.
Seven, eight.
You got some startups going on there. So are they also ready to do some heating and air work in the building? Is that what's happening?
A little bit, yeah. You know, the building is 100 years old this year. And a lot of the original heating and cooling was with boilers and a chiller unit. All that comes from an outside agency. But cold temperatures mean challenges and trying to understand a system that was designed many years ago. I kind of refer to it lovingly as the SS Exchange, the steamship, because that's exactly what it is.
It is, right? A lot of hot air or a lot of hot water coming into the building to, mm-hmm. to, and it's been, we saw some really cold weather here earlier, that the extreme change in temperatures oftentimes makes it difficult. Okay. So besides being the heating and cooling guy, especially heating right now, what's your main role there, Frame?
Servers, infrastructure, anything to do with maybe helping someone on their desktop, wireless, networking, pretty much any IT infrastructure item.
Yeah, we talked before the show. We may get a chance to work together a little bit on a WordPress site that we're hoping, I'm hoping AIM will run for us on behalf of some technology we're doing here in the city of Omaha. So I'm looking forward to that because I always like excuses to have to work. So it's always, it's always a ton of fun. We get to partner up a little bit, or I get to see you twice a year as part of the InfoTech and Heartland Developer Conference. AIM owns both of those. So it's always fun to run into you. Well, hey, let's dive in a little bit here. I had mentioned earlier that way back in, let's say September, I guess around the Home Server Show meetup time, I headed out to Indianapolis, and Dave McCabe had a box from Home8. And if you haven't checked them out, go out to home8security.com. They are a manufacturer of some DIY. Security system. Actually, home8alarm.com is would get their service plans. Home8alarm. I'll have the links in the show notes if you want to head out there. So Dave had a box from Home8, and he wanted to try it out during the show, the meetup that we're doing out there. So we tried it out, got it unboxed and set up. We got the video cam working and some other things. And I said, "Hey, can I take this home and mess with it?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I brought it home with the under the agreement that I do a review by the end of the year. So nothing like getting to. Well, the good news is, John, is that I got to really test it out. It's been installed probably since October, and so for the last couple months, I've been messing around with it. Have you got any home security stuff that you've set up? Are you messing around with that much? What are you using?
I'm using a system that I built on Linux called ZoneMinder, and I've just bought cameras off of Amazon and had to kind of build it myself.
So a little more complicated in that sense because you're kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So this really Home8, this security option's really not designed for that. It's really more out-of-the-box, kind of set it up, easy to use, easy to install. Let me tell you what you get. So in the box, and I think you can go out to Amazon today and pick these up. $199 for the kit. That kit includes a mini cube HD camera, which swivels and you can adjust in various positions. The security shuttle, which is basically the base station. It's the thing that everything goes through. It's got an antenna. It comes with two sensors, so you can put two traditional door sensors, door windows, wherever you want to put those. It comes with a motion sensor that will detect motion in any room, and a keychain remote, which I've actually found really helpful for this demo. And so what I did, installed all the camera out in the garage. That's really the most vulnerable spot of our house. It sits on the ground level. If anything were to happen here, it would happen in the garage. Put one of the sensors on the door. So anytime the door opens, I get notified that the back door, the door coming in from the garage into the house is open. I put a security sensor in this room here down where I do my podcasting. That's right off the garage door. So if any, that's it as well. And really basically ran those three areas, right? And so anytime anything would happen, I get notified off my phone. They've got a sweet little app that you can download and install. That's really, really easy to use from a usage standpoint. Just big old buttons in there. They don't get real complicated with it. They make it pretty simple. You've got some options, show you here on the camera. That's what the app looks like right there. You got some options to turn on the video, to look at if it does set off a sensor, it'll turn on the video camera and give you some options. It'll actually start recording as soon as it senses any kind of motion or it sees motion out of the camera. And so there's a little area, that little green button right there shows me where to go. There's some other features. I tied it to my home automation. So I've got a Philips lighting system in here, and it integrates with Philips Hue. It also integrates with the Amazon Echo or Alexa that you have there. And so I could turn things on and off using my app if I didn't want to leave the app for that. There's some temperature sensors, medication reminders, activity, and then a Care 24 GPS. I did not test any of those because that wasn't part of the deal, but they're really trying to get in, John, to that home security, not just from a physical security coming in, but of course, you know, our parents are aging, yes, right? Mm-hmm. And keeping them upright and keeping them reminded of their medication are two interesting areas of technology that I don't think we talk a lot about, right? I mean, all this automation would be perfect for measuring, are they upright and moving around in the house, right? Are they moving mm-hmm. around normally in the house? As well as, are they taking care of them?
And I've kind of looked at some Raspberry Pi projects that would kind of have some of that functionality, but that's a lot of time invested to try to set all that up. This looks pretty good from a ease of setup and ease to understand the app. It's yeah. very simple looking.
It's very, very simple from that standpoint, and it works pretty well. John, one of the things I loved about the kit is that it came to you completely set up and ready to go. So all the devices were already there.
They're already paired up.
You don't have to mess with that. You kind of turn it on. It recognizes some things. Now, I went through a process of deleting everything and reinstalling it because I wanted to see how, you know, hey, how hard is this to reinstall if I needed to? And each device has its own QR code on it. So I could take the app, you know, go to the app, find the device, put the QR code, you know, find the QR code, and it would automatically set it up. The pairing, which on some devices can be really difficult, that can be the most difficult part of getting your, especially if you're using different products from different people. The hardest part can be getting everything to talk to each other. So one of the nice things about this, since it's an integrated system, when one event happens, it kind of triggers everything. And so you get some good, if you're, you know, you get some good actions within the ecosystem. So a couple of things I really liked when we talk about this. So that setup was simple, easy to use. It is really, and you don't have to buy anything. Once you buy the product, right, there's some plans that you can buy. You can, as cheap as $10 a month, you can buy their security plan. But really for free, you get 24-hour video monitoring. This is all on your own stuff. You get complete use of the app for the most part for free. It'll record the video for you and it does it locally, which is kind of cool. You can put an SD card in the video, in the, you know, in the camera. It emails you, it notifies you, so that none of that stuff is degraded. You still get notified, you still get alerts. It'll allow you to have up to four cameras unlimited number of sensors and up to four cameras. Sure. You get that interactive healthcare protection that I was talking about. Right on. I mean, they give you a lot for free on this energy and automation control, cloud storage, forwarding service, and collaborative alarm services. In other words, you don't have to pay for the thing to work, which is pretty cool. If you want to buy, if you want to get more advanced, if you want to add multi-users or more than five cameras, or you want multi-site protection, then it's $10 a month, which is still pretty reasonable.
It is.
I would think. Yeah.
Compared to like Honeywell, like you buy an alarm system and have it professionally installed. Some of those automation features, they want $40 a month just for that.
Right. Yeah, you'll pay. So this is, I think this is a good entry point in for folks who are thinking about, because as I installed this in the house, there were some things, like I've never had a security system in the house. And so there were some new things I had to kind of think about, like, oh, I need to arm that. Or do I set it on a schedule? Or because it integrates in with if this, then that, and it's got some of its own scheduling things in there, or it integrates in with the Amazon system, do I do some smart arming? You know, in other words, do I try to, you know, we have different schedules here every day. So I leave at a similar time, but my wife's home on certain days and she's gone certain other days. And yeah, you have a key fob where you can turn it on and off. But if I turn it on with the fob and take it with me, then she, you know, turning it back on. So we had some things to start kind of thinking about. I never did install the app on her phone, which I could have done at that point and allowed, you know, allowed her to arm it and disarm it. But breaking the, opening the garage door and alerting the system didn't mean it would automatically just start, you know, the alarm would start going off. By the way, we set off the alarm at the meetup and it was really loud. So if you ever want, I mean, if you're looking for something like, you know, to scare the burglars, the shuttle is very, very loud. And so and if you set it off, and I did, I set it off there. I hit the alarm and hit the siren, and you can do a couple different sirens on it. It's super loud. So that was an ear piercing type deal.
So for the garage door, are you referring to the overhead door?
Yes.
So there's yeah, like a so, mercury sensor of some kind that you have to attach to the door.
Now, I don't. I could have put a magnetic sensor on the garage door itself out there, where every time it moved and passed the, you know, where it passed the magnetic, it would have tripped. I actually use the camera, and it's got both audio and motion sensing on the camera. So I'm using that. If the garage door opens, it sends me a trigger at that point.
Okay.
Something's gone on. So I don't have to put a sensor on to do that. That piece worked out really, really well. I also have a light in there that's motion sensing. So garage door comes on, light comes on, camera starts recording. It's a pretty sweet deal. The only thing I didn't like, the camera itself requires a USB cable and a plug. There's a bunch of reviews out this on YouTube if you really want to get into this and see what. The plug itself isn't very well. The USB, you know, the two plugs like go in like this, and then it makes you put the USB in like that, and that means you've only got one way to put it in a plug. Otherwise, it takes up two outlets, right? And so, you know, the plug needed to be able to swivel, or it needed to have it on top, or it's dependent on a USB cable. You know, I think there's some limitations there. And I think if I were to keep it in the garage installed, I might do some things to hide that outlet up into the garage ceiling and run that cable up in or something like that to just kind of hide it and keep it away. But for now, I mean, that setup is easy. It's a plug-in, but that was one of the drawbacks is it's got to run this cable. You got to run this USB cable out to get it. So garage door opens, camera comes on. I get an alert on my phone. Hey, you know, there's motion in the garage. I can immediately go to the app. It'll take and I can see what's going on in my garage. No matter where I'm at, I can see what's going on in the garage. In fact, tonight, I was messing around with it before the show, and my wife came home and boom, hey, you know, there's somebody in the garage, and I could watch her goofing around. There's three video modes too. You can do kind of SD, and then let me see, where did I write those down? You can do HD high, which is a little bit lower, and then medium, which is more like an SD quality. So if you want to save on bandwidth or whatever, I ran it HD and I didn't have any trouble. It's not, you know, it's not movie quality HD, right?
Would you say that the degree view is pretty good?
About 160 degrees.
Okay.
So you get some pretty good, yeah, you get some pretty good width on it. And the camera itself's got an adjustable, you know, on the camera, where it can move back or forward or swivel either way. So you can really angle that thing nicely. They have two different kinds of cameras. So they've got some for inside that don't move. And then the one that came with the kit, it's got kind of that swivel head on it that will. So I mentioned email alerts with pictures. The alarm's very loud. It's got three modes, which is kind of cool. So it's got an active mode. That's what you expect. All alarms on. It's tracking everything. It's got an off mode, which would you expect, right? Turn the whole thing down. And then it's got this stay mode where you can pick the things you want to stay on and stay off. So if you're home and you know you're not going anywhere, I would leave, you know, like I might turn the garage sensor off, but leave all the door sensors as an example, because I know I'm going to be moving around the house. Or I might turn the motion sensors all off in that, and the garage door off, because I know I'm going to go in and out of the garage, maybe turn that off, but leave the other features on. So you can kind of set that, hey, I'm home, but I still want outdoor security while I'm home. So I thought that was pretty cool. It comes with a remote, but I'd almost like a keypad too, that I could put on the garage where I could disarm it from the outside. I didn't see anything like that. I mentioned the app's pretty decent. You get a lot for free. The $10 a month option's not bad, even if you need to use it. Things I didn't like, the IP cam is powered by the USB cable. I mentioned that. I didn't like that piece. Although not a deal breaker, it works. The auto detective motion and sound was super sensitive on the sound side. I almost had to turn it all the way off, or it was detecting everything that I had out there. So I brought that in my testing. I took the sound all the way. I was like, I'll just take the motion for now, because it just seemed like it was super sensitive. And then, like I mentioned, for me, having a home security system, you got to remember, that's like another step every time you leave the house. You know, you're like, oh yeah, I got to arm that thing.
Yeah.
And so with our varying schedules, it was a little complicated. And so for me, I think if I was going to get into this and you know, I'm going to keep it, so I'll use it that it's there. But it's one of those things I kind of want to ease into home security. Like if I got it all at once, it would almost be an overwhelming experience. Mm-hmm. You know?
It is. It certainly is.
Yeah. So I think a good way ease in, put one, get like lock down one area. And then the beauty of a system like Home 8 is you can really begin to add pieces to it as you want to. And they're adding more and more functionality with it. As I mentioned, it integrates in with an Amazon Echo or Alexa. And but it's as of when I tested it, you still needed the integration where you would say to it, it's a skill, right? So you'd have to say, tell Home 8 to, and then, you know, turn the light on, whatever command. And there's a bunch that are there. I think eventually that'll be seamless. It'll be one of those kinds of skills that you can just say something and it'll interact with it. Maybe. I'd like to see that. It's a little clunky to sometimes have to, that's one of the things I don't like about the Amazon product is those integrations, those skills can be a little at times because you got to tell them, you know, hey, tell Home 8 to do this. And that makes sense for some things, but maybe not.
So on the camera, did you say it had temperature sensing in it?
No, not on the camera.
Okay,
no,
just like
sound, sound in motion. Good little camera. A good little camera and some good. And you get on the app, you can go back and you can, it'll catalog the various videos that it's made and you can go back and watch each one. So pretty good. So I think, you know, something to look at if you're thinking about doing your own security and you don't want to spend a lot. The prices are coming down on it. Last summer, this was $250. It's now $199 on Amazon. And so the prices continue to come down. I've watched a bunch of videos and I would encourage you to do it as well. There's some great, if you just go to YouTube and type in Home 8, there's some great videos out there of some guys that have spent some serious time with this thing. And I'd recommend you go watch them all. If you're going to make a $200 investment, I would say get as much information as you can. And they've done some extensive testing. They'll show you what the product looks like and such. So, but for $200, John, I think it would be if you're serious about home automation, or I mean home security, you want to get into something, this may not be a bad start.
I've been thinking about it for my grandmother. Her birthday is next week, and she's turning 98, and she still lives in her house.
Yeah. No, and it would be great if you could go in and set that up for her, and it's kind of a set it and forget it, and then you would have access. I mean, I got those alerts, and I could see what's going on, and you know, you can determine your level of creepiness on that. But you know, I could see what was going on. It's something worth looking at for sure. Whether it's this or something else, I think we're to this point where we're pretty close to having some pretty complete solutions that work pretty well. And you know, you've been in the IoT space as long as I have. You know, there's been some pretty jankety stuff, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. but what I'm curious about is, I know there's HD cameras, and you can tune them down to SD. I wonder how much bandwidth it takes to run the connection, because in my grandmother's case, she doesn't have internet. I bought a Karma Go and I left the Karma Go at her house. So we just charge that up whenever we need to put more data in the house. And usually around Christmas time, all that data goes all the way down because all the visitors come in and use it.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's a unique and interesting product. And I'm really seriously going to look at it.
Yeah, you should take a peek. Other Jim in the chat room says, how is the camera in low light? As good as any, you know, when you think about these little cameras and their sensors. Not bad, actually. And I'll try to grab, I think I grabbed some pictures from it that I have in my email. I'll try and put those in the show notes for it. What I did, though, is I have a motion-sensitive light that sits right in front of it. So it sits back a ways and then the light's right in front of it. And that light is battery operated. I don't have a lot of power out in the garage. And that was also a review unit. So every time you come in, it turns it on for 30 seconds and then turns it off, which is great because that's as long as the clip is for the video. It is these 30-second clips. So I have light on every time there's motion or every time it's recording, the light is on. And pretty good. I mean, pretty good quality that you get for that. So I'll try and get a picture or video out chat room for that. Good enough. I could see my wife. Like when she came in, I could tell who she was. And you know, tonight when I was looking at it.
Now they have an outdoor camera listed on their website.
They do.
And the picture looks like it has infrared. So that would light up an area outside.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. There's no light. I don't know if you can be able to see this, but let's hold that there. Let's see. There's
see the car.
Yeah, there's the garage. There's no light on right now in the garage, and you get a pretty good outline. You get a pretty good outline of the vehicle that's out there. So not too bad. I don't know where that, and that must have a little splotch of something on that. You see that little dot? All right, here. I must have a little blotch of something on the camera.
Down. Now, I've noticed on my camera in my garage in the summertime, when the lights are out, any insects in the garage will fly towards the infrared light. So that'll trip off my camera system because it'll detect it.
I wonder if she's turned on the light. See right up here by the top of my finger, there's the fluorescent.
Yeah.
It looks pretty bright. So I wonder if she's turned on. I'd have to ask her. That's very possible. That being said, that's still one little fluorescent, and so that's low light, and you get pretty decent coverage. So I think the light's on. Oh, one of the things I didn't mention is I could talk to. It's got a little speaker in it, so I could turn on. There's a down here. There's a little microphone, and you could turn it on. And I could talk. And here, it's got a microphone in it out there as well. And then I could also record right from the app. So I could dynamically, if I just wanted to start recording out there, I could hit record. So pretty cool. Other Jim says, best idea for Elder Watch, I've heard, camera and feet looking across the room. Let's just see if there's someone, if someone falls, but not too creepy. In other words, have it down low. Mm-hmm. So you're just seeing it at the ground level, as opposed to that you're not watching every move, but if someone does fall to the floor, which is a huge problem. I mean, with older folks, right, that fall and that hip is super important to get to those injuries just as fast as you possibly can. And they had those commercials, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. And we all kind of made fun of him until it happened to my dad. And fortunately, he was in a spot where, and when he went down, he was not getting back up to get any. And so that's some serious business. And I think if you've got some elderly parents, or you're in that situation where you need something like this, John, I think there's some good solutions, whether it's this or something else. I think there's some good solutions out there that are making it easier.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. Well, that's Home8. Give them a chat, give them a look, and those guys seem to be doing it pretty well. And they've got some good equipment out there. Is every situation perfect? No. Is it worth a look? I think so. Worth a look for sure. And the one of the things I think it's a little bit short on is it's dependent on this base station and base station connectivity. And if you get the devices too far away, now in my home, there's nothing too far away, but if you got some things too far away from it, you may have some trouble with connectivity. So in a bigger,
I'm wondering if it's their own protocol or if it's, is it Wi-Fi?
It definitely connects to my router Wi-Fi. I don't know. Okay. And I'm sure it's out there, but I didn't geek out that. I wanted to get it installed and use it kind of like the average guy, what would be great? What wouldn't, what did I like? What did I not like? So thanks for putting up with me on the Home8 little hands-on review. Speaking of a hands-on review, and we've alluded to this a couple times, you just recently picked up a Google Home device that's sitting there right behind you. We're going to do a little head-to-head test here in a little, but tell me, why Google Home and not Amazon, the Amazon Echo? And then just give me a little bit of some initial feedback on it.
So I'd already pretty much invested in the Google ecosystem. Earlier this year, we picked up the Google Play Music All Access family plan. So the family plan allows you to have six individuals on it. Myself and my wife, that's it. But when they made the announcement of the Google Home in May, I thought, well, I'll just make a whole nother account and add that onto it so that it's not just me and my music or my wife and her music. It's accessing the whole music cloud that Google has. Through that service, you can play anything. And as a bonus, you get YouTube Red, so there's no commercial. And it's really nice not having commercials on YouTube, let me tell you. So having it here we had a Christmas party a couple weeks ago, and a friend of mine came over and he wanted to cook his lunch. So he would start cooking his pasta and he would just turn around and ask it, hey Google, play some Christmas music. And it
would. We'll play music station called Today's Christmas.
Oh, it's even turned it red and green on the top.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's specialized Christmas music.
And you can stop it just by touching it. But yeah, it was, kind of wanted something to play with. I had dabbled with some Z-Wave connectivity with Raspberry Pi, some home automation with that, but I wasn't satisfied with it. I wasn't having any good luck in pairing devices and having it work. So I figured, well, a lot of these devices are going Wi-Fi with Philips Hue, having their hub and many of these new light bulbs that are just coming with it built in. So I figured, well, it's going to control it someday. If not the first day, it'll get to it later. The Hue works with it. I don't have any Hues yet, but I plan to. But just because I was already invested in that ecosystem is what kind of drawn me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very, very similar. I mean, in what I've seen from a comparison, I feel like it's a little bit behind where Amazon is, but I think it's going to catch up pretty quick. And I don't think they have all right. the integrations that Amazon has, but I think it's going to catch up fairly fast. Now, Google's track record on this stuff is not very good, to be honest. I mean, they have put out some things and they've killed them very quickly. How do you feel about that? I mean, you think it's around to stay? Do you think they're going to support this thing in the long run? They don't have the best track record.
Well, I kind of lump it in with all the Chromecasts. I mean, they've sold a lot of Chromecasts. And the way it interacts with them is great. You know, I just asked it to play music. But if I told it to play it on a specific Chromecast or a group I've defined like house audio, it'll play it on every speaker in the house. And I've only invested $125, $130 in Chromecast audios to do that. Compared to Sonos, to do the same thing, I'd probably have to spend around $2,000.
Yeah. And so, wow, that's a big difference in price. I didn't think about it that way. So you automatically get, if you in these little, you know, $35, you know, casting devices that you can just put anywhere and you can send it. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be, and you can do that from your phone as well, right? I mean, so once you've got those cast devices set up, you could also push that from.
Yeah. And if you're running Chrome on your desktop, there's an actual cast from within the browser too. So if you have a Chromecast video on your TV, you could cast your browser tab on your television. I've done that for showing some websites to people in the office. I took it in there. I put a Chromecast up and was just remote controlling it. So I didn't have to be at the front of the room plugged into the device doing the same thing. It gave me freedom to kind of walk around the room a little. Or if I'm demoing Android app, that's another nice thing about the Chromecast video is you can do it that way. But if I was to ask the Google Home to play specific movie, like say I have Tron Legacy in my Google Play movie library, and I told it to play it on the home theater Chromecast, it'll do it.
Now, I notice you've got the Chromecast up on the TV behind you, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
You could, can you just, would that work? If you just...
You know, I haven't tried it. We could try it.
Let's give it a shot.
Okay. Hey, Google. Play Tron Legacy on CV Office.
I looked for Tron Legacy on Netflix, but it either isn't available or can't be played right now.
Oh, that's a fail right there.
Don't you hate that when you go to demo these things? Can you send music over to it?
Yeah. Let's see. How should we...
See, this is always the hard part, is you got to get the terminology.
Just... Well, I'm gonna make it a complicated one.
Okay, good.
So... Hey, Google, play Soma FM Christmas Lounge on CA Office.
Streaming Soma FM Christmas Lounge from TuneIn on CA Office.
So that's the home stereo that I have over there in the corner. So I can control that with a regular home stereo remote.
And don't play that too long and Google will get mad at it.
Okay. Hey, Google, stop.
Yeah, YouTube will get angry with us.
Yes. But I'm rethinking my strategy of how I named my Chromecasts. Because I have so many in the house, there's three TVs and four audios. And if I didn't label them like CA or CV, I couldn't necessarily remember which one was which. Because the home theater has an audio and a video on it. Because I've either been watching movies or listening to music. Technically, I could play the audio on the Chromecast video and it'll show you album art on the screen. But that typically turns the TV on. I don't want the TV on running using energy if I'm just listening to music.
Right, right. So you use AV for video. What do you use for audio?
Oh, it's a CA for Chromecast audio and CV for Chromecast video.
Okay. Yeah, but which is a little cumbersome in your naming convention, right? And
yes.
You know, that also becomes another dilemma of how do we name these things?
Well, luckily... You can define groups. So if I have a group defined house audio, then I can attach all the Chromecast audios. If I just say house audio, it'll play on everything that's attached to that group. So you got upstairs or downstairs, you know, how you ever want to define those.
Yeah. Emily says, we have to say play The Office on Netflix on the living room TV. And so I'm assuming she's named the that the Chromecast living room TV, and then it knows how to pick up the Netflix, gets The Office, you know, gets the right name of the show, mm-hmm. and puts that in there. Yeah.
I think they just added 35 items just last Friday. And yeah, Netflix was one of them, I believe. And I haven't attached my Netflix account yet.
Well, it's got me thinking about naming things with natural language. Right now, you've separated audio and video out, but that's very unnatural in your language, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, with the Hue lights, you know, we have the couch lamp, we have the reading lamp, we have the front door light, we have the hallway light, we have the living room light, and so we try to set those up in a way. So when you say, Alexa, turn on the living room light or turn on all the upstairs lights, right? We tried to name those groups using natural language terminology so it'd get it. But you still got to think about it. And I think it takes practice. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you got to say it a couple times and get comfortable with it, because you can't get it wrong. If you get it wrong, if you get it just slightly off, if you call it something slightly different, it won't let you turn them on or turn them off from that standpoint. So I think the struggle was to work through some natural language words that made sure they made sense. And then I remembered what they were, because it doesn't matter what you want to call it. If you're not saying what the right word is, it won't do anything.
And if we make it too complicated, then our spouses won't want to use it.
Yeah, right on. Well, it's gotten from Sarah, it's gotten full, you know, wife approval factor. She loves it. The kids know it, and Sammy knows how to turn them on and turn them off. So I think we're getting there. It's really cool to get to this point where we're getting there. But I think it takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of thought, like, what am I going to name these things and how am I going to remember them in a way that makes sense? And then no matter how many times you demo them to a friend, it always fails the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're like, hey, let me show you this cool thing. And then it never works.
I think where I failed in having it play a movie, with the family library as Google has it, certain items that are eligible for purchase are shareable throughout the whole family members. So myself, my wife, and the Google Home account. You know, there's three separate accounts. Had I set this up on my regular account, it would have been tailored to me and all my taste, but it would have picked up that movie probably. Okay. Quasi has a question on playing podcasts. It should. And if you're using the Google Play Music has podcast feed, you should pick it up if you have it subscribed. I would be surprised if it doesn't, but it would learn over time is the way I've been told.
So if you said, okay, Google Play Home Gadget Geeks on Google Play, you think it would pick that up? Would you? You would, let's try it.
Hey, Google, play Home Gadget Geeks on Google Play.
I looked for Home Gadget Geeks on Google Play Music, but it either isn't available or can't be played right now.
So try TuneIn Radio. See if it's got some TuneIn integration, because okay. That's the Echo has.
Hey, Google. Oh, shoot. I forgot. What's the name?
Home Gadget Geeks on okay. TuneIn.
Sorry. I'm not sure how to help with that, yeah. But I'm trying to learn.
Hey, Google. Play Home Gadget Geeks on TuneIn Radio.
I looked for Hunger Games on TuneIn, but it either isn't available or can't be played right now.
You know, it's interesting.
Oh, you have to say the word podcast at the end.
Oh, okay. Give that a try.
Okay. Hey, Google. Play Home Gadget Geeks podcast on TuneIn.
Sorry, playing podcasts on TuneIn is not yet supported.
Oh.
Well, I had an answer, which means it's going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah.
At some point.
That's good to know. That's good to know. That works out really well on the Echo. I think that's something they'll catch up with, I would think.
I'll have to try it.
You know.
I've been sticking to using my phone for all my podcasts, and I'll just cast from there, because the podcast app I have doesn't have syncing between devices, which I should probably look into and getting that updated. Because I always have to go to that one device to do it, but I'm kind of lazy and set my ways in my podcast.
I know. Isn't that funny? Hey, Emily said it'll work if you say, hey, Google, play Home Gadget Geeks podcast.
Just by itself.
Just try that.
Yeah, hey, Google, play Home Gadget Geeks podcast.
Here's the latest episode of Managing Your Home Tech Updates from LastPass with Amber Gott, HGG288.
Wow, I read the whole title.
It did the title. Very nice.
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help. Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that.
2016.
There you go.
I can't help with that yet.
Still thinks I'm talking.
Isn't that great when it gets stuck on you? Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool. That's cool. Emily, thank you. We learned how to listen to the podcast there.
And the way I did the Christmas music earlier is I didn't say tune in, I just said the title of the channel. And it said it found it on tune, right? So,
well, I think the beauty of these over the next 3 or 4 years will be the natural language learning that will go on. And if they really can apply that on an individual basis, and really make it easy, like really learn your tendencies, really learn what you're trying to get, really learn and get those things. Cause I still find they're a little clunky, you know, little clunky. We had, Kwesi says he's sold.
I'm debating on getting a second one.
Well, do they mesh in any way? As far as once you set them up in the house, as far as how do you keep track of like, if they both hear you?
Well, I'm going to have one upstairs and one downstairs. Okay. Yeah. There's enough of a difference.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Hey, we're going to try and do a little bit of a challenge. We kind of just did some of that with the podcast thing. You know, what kind of things have you found interesting to do on your device that either are helpful or unique?
For mine, I usually do like morning briefing. So I'll ask it and I'll like, hey, Google, good morning. And it'll start to do.
Good evening. The time is 8:51 p.m. from NPR News Summer.
It'll just go through all the news sources that you have to find. There are a few funny. You can ask it to tell a joke. You know, just like anything else. You can say, "Hey Google, what's the answer to life, the universe, and everything?"
The answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42.
Yeah, same on Amazon. You'd had one interesting I hadn't thought about though. We were in pre-show. And you had a roll of dice, so do that one.
Put a little twist on it. Ooh, okay. How about this? Hey, Google, roll a 20-sided dice.
Sure. You rolled an 18.
So yeah. If you do Dungeons & Dragons, there's your 20-sided
dice. Yeah, the dodecahedron, right? That's. I wonder if it knows dodecahedron. Alexa will do the same thing. Hey, Echo, roll a die.
I rolled a die and got 6.
So not as exciting. You don't hear the dice roll. I mean, it's interesting. They got the little, but let me say, hey Echo, roll a 20.
I rolled a 20-sided die and got 1.
What? I don't know if that's.
It must be 1, right?
Yeah. Hey Echo. See, it's a little deaf. Hey Echo. Now she's deaf. She's gone. I lost her. One more time. Hey Echo. Roll a 20-sided.
I rolled a 20-sided die and got 15.
Nope. So that does work. Okay. There you go. I had no idea. One of my favorites lately has been this one. Hey Echo.
I can't find the answer to the question.
You know, you just want it to be so good. Right. And right. It just isn't sometimes. You know, and you do that and she goes, you know, there's a little drum roll. Anything else that you found when you think about interesting, kind of off the beaten path skills?
Not as much yet. I mean, there's a whole list of them that you can look up online. You know, I could say, hey, Google, set the thermostat to 72 degrees.
You got it. Setting the Hal to 72 degrees.
My thermostat's named Hal.
You know, I'm super impressed. The voice recognition is so much better. Now, I have the Dot. So to be fair, Dot has a little trouble hearing. Mm-hmm. Alexa's a lot better. Alexa's up in the kitchen, although marginally better. That seems to hear you really well. Like it hasn't always done the command right, but it does seem to hear you really well. Mm-hmm.
When we had our Christmas party a couple of weeks ago, we had a room full of people and we were asking it things and it was still doing it while there was a bunch of conversation. So it did pretty good to determine who had asked and what the question was following it.
And I might be throwing it off because I keep saying, hey, and I think it just wants its name. Mm. So let me try that. Echo. There we go. Drum roll. Let me try one more time. Echo, drum roll.
Sorry, I think I dropped my drumsticks.
They keep changing it up.
So maybe that's why, maybe I'm making the mistake of trying to say, hey, the name, instead of just saying the name.
Some of the things that the Home will do will be contextual. Like if you ask to play a song, you can ask what album that song is from, or like when did that album come out, what year. And it'll just keep going.
While it's playing?
Yeah. So sort of like, you know, what's that song? What did it come out on? It's not like what's the song that's playing came out on. So it's that same contextual search stuff that they've been doing for a couple of years now on the phone. It'll go right through that.
And I find that's really the next level of this, where I think the queries need to be consistently contextual. They're not always that way. It needs to kind of understand that, hey, I'm continuing with this query. Don't make me say it again. You know, don't make me give you the same context. Let's just know that I'm talking about this. And I think that's the next.
One of the cool things I think would be really nice is it would do some voice recognition, because anybody who asks this, it always says, you know, like, hey, Casa, which is what I named the house, right? I'm debating going back into the account and changing it to my name and my wife's name. So it's both attentive. But if they can do that division of individuals and have multiple accounts attached to it, then the all the different libraries for the different individuals come into play for their music, your music, their library of movies, your library of movies. I think it would be pretty killer if they can get that division out.
It's a big step, right? I was listening to Home On, I think, one of the home automation podcasts that I like. And some of the cameras now are getting really good at knowing who you are based on facial recognition and some of those, you know, just kind of understanding your presence. That gets a little more challenging from a vocal perspective, but through voice wave and some of those things, being able to do that, I think you're right. That's another step in this of knowing, hey, it's me and my, you know, it's the old Star Trek, you know, when he's authorizing the self-destruct on the Enterprise, right? It's got to be him and his voice doing it, right? And one alpha, whatever you would say, when he was going to blow up the Enterprise. But yeah, no, I agree with you. It's one of those things that I think that gets really cool when it knows who you are and it knows your preferences. And, you know, maybe the camera sees you, maybe your garage camera sees you walk in, and the garage camera says, Jim's home, make sure all the settings now are changed to what Jim likes, which is, you know.
I would almost go for the voice there.
Okay.
It's easier to do, I think, from a software perspective than facial recognition, just because if you're wearing a hat or you have sunglasses on, that always throws it off.
True.
Right?
True.
And depending, you know, Google has said, we're not going to do facial recognition. However, if you've ever used Google Photos, you know that it pairs all that stuff up.
Yeah.
I think from a, when they say they're not going to do facial recognition, I think they're talking about like a video context. You know, like, you remember the old Google Glass and the idea that you'd be walking into a room and it would tell you the names of all these people above them? Mm-hmm. That's where they said, oh, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, but I think they'd be silly not to use at least, you know, think about all the data that's on your phone and all the pictures you've tagged of yourself and the ability for it to use those contextually in a way to continue to get better and smarter about recognizing you. Now, there's tons of other ways to do that too, right? I mean, you could do it with proximity, with your phone, with some of the other things that you have, right? There's a lot of other ways to get that done. But I, you know, John, as we talk about all this home automation stuff and all, I am not a guy, and maybe it's just me, but I'm not a guy who'd walk into the house and want the lights to, you know, the lights to be set in a certain way and a temperature to be brought up to a certain thing. You know, I just, and it's maybe because it's not been available to us that I don't think along the, you know, I'm not a guy, I could set the coffee maker to come on automatically at a certain time in the morning and have it ready for me, but I don't do that. Like I do it. I don't, you know, I don't set the temperature controls. Like it would be great if I could auto start my car at a certain time to make, especially in the winter. So you could easily do, a recipe where you say, if the temperature is below 30 and I'm, it's this time in the morning and it's Monday through Friday, start my car. And so it would just automatically start at 15 this morning. It was super icy on the car. I went out and manually started it, you know, let it sit for 15 minutes. And then I came out and all the ice was melted. You could easily, but I find myself not using that automation like I should, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
And you know, about having your car starting, you probably want a camera on it too, to watch it. My uncle actually had his car taken out of his driveway.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's where an auto starter is really helpful because it would start it and leave the doors locked.
Yeah.
You know, and then you could, you know, you go out with your fob and open things and back up and get going. But it's not, I just don't think that way a lot of times. And I should. I mean, it's with all this stuff that's going on, it's, you know, super convenient to say Echo, Echo, turn off the studio lights, you know, and they're literally right here. Right. I mean, she's probably not going to do it because I kept talking. That's another problem, right? From that is I didn't finish the sentence. If I finish it, she'll do it. Echo, turn off the studio light. Then she understands the concept. Echo, turn on the studio. But if you keep talking,
okay,
like I did, it keeps waiting, you know?
Yeah, it's waiting for another command that it might be.
And then it gets overwhelmed with the words. Cortana is the same way. I've done some Cortana queries on Windows 10, and it didn't pick up the first part. I didn't stop talking, and then it just keeps recording, or it keeps trying to figure out what I'm saying. And so I think we got some work.
I think one of the other things I'm going to try is if I do get a second one and I pair it specifically with my account, that way I can kind of compare the two of them. One that has a lot of information versus only what's I've told it. So one learns more than the other based upon the life history of the Google account I have it connected to. Is can I ask it to send Hangout messages through the home to individuals like text messages? So when you're in your car, you can use that hands-free. You say the trigger word and you have it send the message. I'm wondering if I can do that with the home. And that's an interesting thing I'll have to try.
Yeah. Well, and Kwesi says maybe, or was talking about, you know, doing these things, you know, is it us? Is it the kids that are going to do these kinds of things? You know, I don't find it natural to do them all. He says maybe it's a generational thing. Not necessarily a bad thing. I wonder if the kids will be doing all of this, you know, because they're growing up with it, if it will seem more natural to them. Not even my kids, because they're already old, but my kids' kids, you know, they're just starting to have kids. So you kind of wonder. And then Ken says, just like we don't think to say commands, we'd rather type it or touch it. Like that in a lot of ways is true. We're not command first. Like we're not speaking first, even though we grew up watching Star Trek and that's all they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
I think we still feel weird that way. And yet I think the next generation coming along will be way more comfortable with just talking, and they'll be, you know, it's like the old Star Trek, and I forget which number it was, but Scotty is at a computer and he picks up the mouse, or first he says computer. And the guy looks at him funny, and I'm like, here's the keyboard. And he goes, oh, a keyboard, how quaint. And then I think at one point he even picks up the mouse and says, computer.
Yep. Right?
And then he goes, then my favorite part is when he goes, oh, a keyboard, how quaint, right? And he cracks his knuckles, and then he types like he's been typing his whole life. I mean, just imagine the fallacy in that, right? It's not really – he'd never typed on a keyboard before. I mean, yet he can just, you know, crank out all this code error-free in a matter of minutes. You kind of go, no, don't think so. What I know that Star Trek blasphemy four. Right there. Is it four?
Yeah. There's my geekiness. Really,
can you ask Echo, which Star Trek may save the whales?
Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question. Right. I heard.
Ask the Google.
Hey, Google. In which Star Trek movie did they save the whales?
Sorry, I'm not sure how to help with that.
Well,
you don't win the trivia contest.
Well, that's funny. I'm sorry, I cut you off in mid-sentence.
Oh, I don't remember.
Drashna says Star Trek 6, but you're saying Star Trek 4?
Yes. Leonard, I'm actually watching the Leonard Nimoy documentary that his son made. And that was the one where he got to direct it and have full creative control over it.
Right. Star Trek 4, The Voyage Home. See, now, it was so much easier to just type that in, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, how quickly... Did I find that search just by bringing Google up and putting it? I put in Star Trek and literally IMDb.
Now you could ask it, you know, hey Google, in what Star Trek movies was William Shatner in?
My apologies. I don't understand.
See, if I was to ask for a cast of a specific movie, it would probably tell. Or as in the chat earlier, they said about George Clooney, what movies is he in recently? I haven't tried that yet. So there's still a lot to do and to try. It's sort of like I've not had the occasion to do it, and to reflect on the generational thing, I think a lot of it is what is the aha moment that defines you understanding or knowing that it can help you in the way that you asked. Because I help a lot of people as part of help desk work, and showing people a few steps to make something go faster, I do that a lot. And you just sort of see them go, oh, right. It's just the way of thinking is slightly different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it'll just get better. This is the cool thing about this, is it's working. It's not working great, but it is working. I think this morning, one of the things I'm trying to do is ask, you know, Echo, what's the quickest way into work? Nah, she just died already. So I, in the mornings, again, I'll say, what's the quickest way into work? And she'll tell me the route that I should take, you know, and that's the kind of stuff. Although I'd almost like that to just automatically happen. Hey, I'd almost want it to query me. Hey, I noticed you're headed. Are you headed to work? Yes. Do you want the fastest route? Yes. Like, it could. That would be helpful if it would cue me to be smart enough to know. Hey, are you doing this thing right now? Because if you are, I have some helpful
information. The Google Now cards kind of do that on the Android. So on Sundays, I'll usually get a card in the morning that says, you know, hey, it's 25 minutes to your grandmother's house, because it knows we typically go to my grandmother's on Sunday. So it's there. It's just not the prompting port. It'll get there. I don't know if you saw that story about some of the hotels in Las Vegas are going to start installing the Amazon Echo in the rooms.
Yeah, the Wynn lights. The Wynn or one of those, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure which hotel. I've been there like three times in my life. The last time was for CES. It was a whirlwind.
It's crazy. It's crazy there for that. Yeah, no, in the rooms to control the lamps, and shades.
And the thermostat.
No, I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, it is the Wynn, Quasi says. I think that's a really good idea to get some adoption. And I think it's a great way to do it. And man, they could get massive amounts of data on what people are saying and what's working and what's not working. Ken had said, Emily had said, I'm curious to know if Apple will try to jump in on the home automation trend, hopefully with something better than Siri. It will be interesting to see what Apple does. Apple's, and Richard Gunther said this today on Home On, or it was a special edition of Home On, that he thinks Apple will partner with Sonos. And it won't be its own box. It'll be a Sonos box that has Siri built into it. Right. And that type of thing. That's what he thought. And then I think that was him. I could be misrepresenting him, but let's just say he said that. And then Ken asked, how does Echo versus Google compare in regards to range of hearing, the commands and the quality of the speakers? Ken, we haven't done a test. I think just from tonight, though, my anecdotal evidence would be, I think it hears better. It's behind you, and you turn towards it. But my Echo has just been a complete failure tonight.
How I can lower my voice?
I mean, I say Echo, and nothing. Like it did nothing right there. Echo. Now it came on. I think it's better. I have a Dot. Not the. This isn't the. This is an Alexa, and Alexa's got a bunch more speakers. I think one, but I tonight before I would have said, "Eh," to the Google Home. After the demo tonight, it's kind of like, "Huh, that's not a bad little device."
I've asked it for poems. It's read poems out. It's been a lot of fun.
I wonder if they could read the Bible or something like that. Can you get them to read books?
That would probably have to be in your account.
Jim's book library is empty. To buy audiobooks, visit audible.com.
Okay, see, I have an Audible account, but there's no way to connect it. So
I'm sure it's coming.
It's there. Hey, Google, how many calories are in a McDonald's Big Mac?
There are 563 calories in one 7.6-ounce McDonald's Big Mac.
That's why I don't eat a Big Mac.
One 7.6. Let's see if Echo can do it. Echo, calories.
Big Mac contains 229 calories per 100 grams, 64 calories per ounce.
Whoa. So a different. Out. Yeah. Like a breakdown. And it's not really what I wanted to know. Like, that's cool, but I don't want to do the math. I'm asking the question because I want to know, how does this fit into my diet today? Can I afford it or not? Your answer was better, right? I think was a more accurate. I mean, the Amazon device is really good at breaking down quarts and, you know, how many pints are in a quart and quarts in a gallon and convert this and convert money. That's great. But that's not the answer I wanted. I didn't get, like, you know, I wanted to know how many calories were in a Big Mac. Maybe I have to say total. Echo, how many total calories are in a McDonald's Big Mac?
Big Mac contains 229 calories per 100 grams, 64 calories per ounce.
That almost sounds like Wolf and Alpha responding.
Yeah, almost. Almost. The correct answer, right? But not, and then all of a sudden now I got to do the math,
mm-hmm.
you know, not really what I was looking for. So that's interesting. That's interesting.
Hey, Google, what country is Rome in?
Italy. According to Nations Online.
Ah, it still did Italy. Rome, the capital. Even though I cut it off.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, well, hey, that Google. Kind of stuff. That. Oh, go ahead.
How late is Target open?
Target is open right now and closes at 12 a.m.
Oh, Christmas hours.
But it doesn't tell you where it's at. Like, hey, Google, is that your local Target?
How far away is the Target?
You're 2.4 miles away from Target by car.
Oh, so it must know, it's got some location information from you based on your profile, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Got the home address in there.
Yeah.
Because you can order Domino's pizza.
Oh, nice.
I want to test that.
All of a sudden, sausage pizza is going to show up at your door here in a half an hour.
But you're going to see that pranking on several videos, you know, order whatever. And it'll show up on several people's houses.
No, that's definitely a drawback. The ordering is, you can shut that off with a pin and some other things, but that's going to be an issue, I think, in the future. Emily says, can I ask things like, oh, this is good for me. How do I get rid of heartburn? She says you can. How do I get rid of heartburn? Let's see. Hey, Echo, I've had some really bad heartburn the last couple nights.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
You try it.
Hey, Google, how do I get rid of heartburn?
According to Everyday Roots, if you want to try out the simplest home remedies for heartburn, first try letting a few bananas ripen up nicely and eating one every day. Another option is to try an apple a day.
All right. Maybe
it's very holistic.
It's very earthy, Google. You are very earthy, kind of a tree hugger.
All right, let's try this. Hey, Google, how do you make meatloaf?
I like my meatloaf like I like my tasks. Well done.
So she gave you a joke. Let me ask you, Echo.
That's pretty good.
How do you make?
Sorry, I don't know the answer.
Man, disappointed in the Amazon ecosystem.
I see. There,
I think you can ask it like I've got bread, peanut butter, and jelly. What can I make with it?
Oh,
ask the question.
Hey Google, I have bread, peanut butter, and jelly. What can I make?
My apologies, I don't understand.
I thought on some of those you could say ingredients and it would tell you all the things you could make.
Mm-hmm. So there was a recipe function where you can ask it recipes. That's why I was trying the meatloaf, and
it's not easy. It's not just easy
right.
thing. I've got, you know, one. Ken asked this question. So is it a bigger concern having Google listening all the time or Amazon? I think either one is a problem. I mean, this is on and listening right now, even though supposedly it only listens when I'm calling for his name. But there's been people who said they've been talking about proximity and then it shows up in a search on the web or at Amazon deal.
Well, what I like about how Google does some of their items is they have a feature called Google Takeout. So if you ever want to leave, you can go into Google Takeout and download your data and then delete it. It's part of they have a division called the Data Liberation Front inside the company. And there is, I believe there's an area on your voice where you should be able to clean that out.
Yeah. And I'm not really that worried about that. I guess I should be. I'm not. I mean, this is where I'm willing to trade some of my security for my, like, hey, if my voice, I'm not doing anything secret. So if my voice commands, you know, where it gets a little iffy is if they start turning those voice commands into you saying things you didn't say, that's when it gets, you know, that's when it's bad. But if they could learn from me and this thing could become more helpful, like I said, I'd like to see a little more proactive. Hey, we're noticing, you know, I'm noticing this, like the Google Now cards. So I'd love to see that. Hey, it's getting ready to snow out. Do you want me? By the way, I saw this really cool robot snowblower that one of the guys put on at theaverageguy.tv Facebook page. You know, we've been talking about these Husqvarna robot mowers, and now they have a snowblower that also does lawn mowing. And so you have dual purpose. I think it's about $4,000, but that thing, when it senses it's snowing, will and clear your driveway. How cool is
that's
that?
Cool. Yeah.
See, that could be helpful because think about a robot snowblower clearing your driveway the second it starts snowing. So, you know, it starts snowing. It senses that. You get maybe a half an inch on the ground and it just starts clearing. And it never really gets to be a problem because it's just always out there doing it. Cool. That's the way I like the driveway. Otherwise, you know, we wait till it stops snowing and then 6 inches in her driveway. So I thought that's pretty cool. That would be, if I could get one of those, you know, $3,000, that's a little expensive to go for just a mower.
Yeah.
But if it was a mower and it did the snow, that could, like, the one drawback, right, is a snow event usually comes pretty fast, and it doesn't, it's going to need to clear it in one or two charges, because it can't, if it starts and it's got to go back into the base station to charge,
it can snow. And if it's slippery, it may not make it back.
Yeah. Oh, well, or it could, the snow could pile up in the time it's charging. You know, in your lawn, it grows pretty slow. So in the time it's charging, you, chances are it's going to charge before the grass grows. Not true in a snowstorm. You know, it's going to snow faster than the grass grows. So
I think they're hoping you'll buy two.
There you go. And that's right. Emily says that's why we wanted a heated dryer. Yes, right on. Well, John, I told you we would take up the whole time with that conversation, and we absolutely did. So with that, we'll call this part of the program a wrap. John, thanks for it was fun. I haven't done that yet, where we just did these head-to-head kind of tests, and it gave us a good idea of what's available and not. They both continue to grow very, very rapidly. And so one of the things that's hard to keep up with is all the things that's available. I think if you have one, you just got to keep trying it, right? You got to keep
learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you learn, like you learn what's available, and we can shut the lights off and turn the lights on. I don't have a thermostat, so we don't, lights on and off, make lists, answer questions, tell me a joke, those kinds of, weather, quickest way to work, you know, that kind of stuff. I think they'll just, so I wouldn't spend too much money on any one device. What was the retail on that?
$129.
Super reasonable. You could probably get it on a sale here. I bet they go down to $99.
They had it over Thanksgiving for $99 at Best Buy.
Yeah. Well, man, I've got some heartburn. I wish it would tell me.
Bananas.
I have no answer. I needed you to give me the answers of bananas and apples. Bananas and apples. Well, John, hang tight here, and let me wrap this up, and then we'll do a little bit of post show. Maybe we'll goof off a little bit more.
Cool.
As we do that, don't forget, we have a Patreon link available for, if you want to support the show financially, head out to theaverageguy.tv/support to get that done. If you want to contact me, if you got some feedback, you want me to have a certain guest on, you got a comment about something, all that stuff, you can send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, track me down on Twitter @JakeCollison. We take it either way, and that way, contact me that way. Theaverageguy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high speed, by the way. Christian's upgrading his servers during Christmas break. So high speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. For more information, visit Maple Grove Partners, all one word, Maple Grove Partners. com. And like I said, Christian's doing some great infrastructure upgrades this Christmas, and it's going to be, so if you're holding off on web hosting, it's a great way to do it. Plan start at $10. I want to thank Roger out at WLMN Radio for his broadcast of Home Gadget Geeks Live. I can't get that on. Oh, I wonder if I could get WLMN on Alexa. I bet I could. But we appreciate Roger for broadcasting us live out there in Grafton, West Virginia. You can also listen to Home Gadget Geeks on our Android. I got to take that out of my notes here. I say that it's been like a year and a half. Take it out of the notes, Jim. You can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on the Android or iPhone app, both live and recorded versions, all in a single app. Search Home Gadget Geeks over at homegadgetgeeks.com. We want to thank LastPass for their sponsorship of the show, and they're great friends to us, and we appreciate that. And like we learned last week, LastPass for just about everything. If you're not using LastPass or trying it out, give it a try. Phone, just about everything's free. Give it a shot. If you want to go with the premium, it's only $12, and that's a year. So pretty inexpensive dollar a month. Get you in there, and we want to thank and Amber for coming on last week of the show. Don't forget to sign up for our cool newsletter. If you haven't got that yet, I'm getting it out almost weekly at this point. I'll never spam you because sometimes I send it out. And if you want to sign up for it, head over to theaverageguy.tv/newsletter, and you can get past episodes. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern. I'll be live through the holidays, and Loria Petrucci's coming on. John, you know who she is, right? The old Kelly Lewis?
Yeah.
January 19th, she'll be on. I sent her a note the other day and said, hey, would you come on? And she's like, of course I would. I've met her a couple times, and she is dynamite. So we're excited to have her on. And, so Skype, have you tried the Skype bots? We'll talk about that in the post show. Some interesting things going on inside of Skype, and I just saw something pop up. We'll talk about that in a post show. We're live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out at theaverageguy.tv. Live, got some great shows for you coming up. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.